Hi everyone, you're listening to Venturi's Voice. I'm your host, Andy Davis. This show is all about building a hub of relevant, insightful, and actionable business insights that can help drive greater performance and innovation. I've worked with several tech startups myself and know from experience that success is underpinned by a passion for continual learning and growth. So I'm grateful to have the opportunity to speak with our guests and learn from their stories. If you enjoy this podcast, you can download the free ebook featuring my personal podcast highlights from the past 2 years at www.venturi-group.com/podcast-ebook. If you're looking for more information on today's episode, just head over to the Venturi website to check out the show notes. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Today's guest is Matt Parrish, the lead full stack game developer at Wibu. Matt, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely. Happy to be here and talk.
Yeah, it's great. Typically, we'd be a lot further away since you live over in Pennsylvania. But since you're back in London, the internet connection still sucks. So I don't think it really makes much difference. But it's cool to have you over in the UK for a while. I know you come back and forth with work and stuff. We were just talking briefly before the show about, small town USA and like our great appreciation for it. I think we both had those experiences but nice now and again to get a taste for the big city as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It's great to have you on the show, Matt. And, there's so much I want to kind of get stuck into and talk about. But I thought for context, perhaps maybe just give everyone listening a brief introduction about you and kind of your background and what you're working on now.
So I'm currently the lead full stack game developer at Wibu, and we are a company that makes games for language learning. So our goal is to create immersive experiences for players to learn languages almost from the player's perspective as a secondary point to the game. So we want them to, from their perspective, feel like they're playing a game first and foremost, but then have kind of the side effect after the fact that, oh, I learned a language while doing that. From our perspective, the language learning is still the utmost priority. But we do want to make sure that the players have a great game experience as well. So it's a very interesting mix of, game design techniques and development with the other people on the team who do the language tech and the pedagogy and everything. So it's a very cool team to be on.
Yeah.
In the past, I've worked on web development, and also I worked for a game development company called Every after they switched from multimedia games, but they did slot machine games for casinos.
Right.
So I have a very interesting mix of experience, I guess.
Yeah, awesome. It's interesting actually because, I think like most of us, it's probably. Learning a language, for instance, is one of those things that most people inevitably have on their bucket list, but very few of us ever actually probably achieve. Certainly us, like English native speakers, I think for some reason we assume everyone else speaks the language, which I suppose is, they do in a lot of places, but it's very arrogant of us to think that, unfortunately. And for me, like going down the road of maybe like a Rosetta Stone or like, something that, I don't, maybe a more formal class where you actually go to school to try and learn a language, for me just seems very inauthentic, and for me would probably be a challenging learning environment. So it's such a fascinating take that you've used, because I think like most people learning a language, the best way to learn it is just to go and move to the country, right? Or be in an environment where that's kind of the native speaking, because you can't help but pick it up because you're in that environment. And I guess this is just like one step beyond that in a like virtual learning environment where it's kind of more practical. So for a learner like me, at least for my style, it's actually fascinating to kind of hear that this is how people are learning and, yeah, just kind of subconsciously picking things up. And I think that's perhaps the way most people learn, hence why, you know, Wibu started to go down this direction.
Yeah, it's definitely becoming more and more prominent to learn by playing games. There's a bunch of different companies and games that, I mean, the biggest one that's been most popular is learning programming, actually, by playing games. Right. And then there's other ones that have been teaching maths and, you know, other different concepts in school by playing games. But yeah, it's definitely, full immersion is absolutely, I agree, the best way to do it. Just move yourself to a different country if you have the opportunity. But since a lot of people don't have that opportunity, yeah, this is the next best thing. And there's plenty of good apps out there, great apps that are still, like, I would consider more user-friendly kind of and more fun to do than, like, Rosetta Stone. Mm-hmm. There's a few I use, actually. There's one called Tandem, which is a really cool app that actually connects you to other native speakers around the world. So it's not so much about learning the grammar and everything like that and just, you know, really boring concepts. It actually throws you into a conversation with another person who wants to learn your language, and you do essentially a language exchange. So I've been using that to learn German recently, and it's really fun. There's also one called Busuu, and I'm sure everyone knows Duolingo.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are all really great apps. I've used them. I know a lot of other people use them. But they gamify the process, which is very different than actually creating a game that is revolving around the language learning. You know, because gamification is adding achievements and goals and things like that. It's great. It still makes the process fun, and it's better than just doing things, you know, going to a classroom and learning or something. But we really, really want to get that experience of having a player have fun and almost just not even realizing that they're learning because they're just having so much fun playing the game. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that makes the ugly process of learning just so intuitive that it just happens. So that's our goal, and we're really excited. Our current product is called Ruby Ray, and it's been around since 2017, I want to say. We have a consumer version on mobile. That's, you can play the first two games for free. And that gives you a chance to kind of experience, you know, what it looks like to be learning the language from a game perspective, and how it might be fun for your kids. Ruby Ray is targeted to kids probably from 7 to 14. And so far it's been primarily focused on ESL. So we do have an English to Spanish version, but for the most part, we have a lot of different languages learning English. We really, on our next products, want to expand that to be a bunch of target languages as well as native languages. And yeah, we've been working with a lot of people and a prominent university to help develop a version for schools of Ruby Ray that will actually be used in classrooms. So we actually had a pilot of that in Spain late last year and early this year, and it's scheduled to release sometime in May. So
awesome, mate! It's so impressive. I mean, you know, I think this is, you know, we've talked a lot in this podcast. This is certainly relevant around education, and we've talked a lot really about specifically people learning to code, right? Engineering programs and such, and yeah, just how I suppose outdated and perhaps inappropriate the kind of traditional educational systems are for people wanting to learn these languages. In my opinion, I've spoke quite strongly on it in the past that I feel as though it's so prime for disruption. It's a frustrating one, without digressing too much, but it's a frustrating one because it's still, and especially in the US that I'm aware, it's still very much the case that, a lot of the major employers in the country really consider the top universities, and that's kind of it. That's their kind of entry requirements. And, for programs like engineering, for example, which is an extremely high demand, and yet the supply is extremely neglected. It's still something that we get asked from our recruitment perspective to consider, and something that needs to be there. But it's just an impractical way of learning. You could go through a 4-year program like you do in America. How much does technology change in 4 years? How can you expect that that's going to be a practical way to learn things? So for me, I was super excited to kind of get you on the show and talk to you about it, because this, for me, fits in with that rhetoric about how we're now learning. I just think that people are engaging in content in a completely different way than we ever have before, and want to learn at their own speed, and almost at a required speed that I just think the traditional format, although good for some things, clearly, it's a complete misfit when you look at things like learning a language, which for me is a very practical thing to have to learn, and that goes for engineering languages as well.
Yeah, it's, and big universities as well. How often do they update their, content and their pedagogical style? Not often. So, as much as tech, as you mentioned, tech changes within 4 years, an insane amount. And something that you started learning in your freshman year of school is not going to be what's necessarily the big thing in your senior year of school. I went the standard route. I went to university, I got my degree in computer science. But looking back on it, as much as it cost, and the fact that I haven't really used my main programming language that I learned there was C++, which I think a lot of universities were teaching to, because it covers so much more of the technical aspects that you need to know, things you might not cover in C# or Java, like memory collection and things like that. But I haven't used C++ almost at all since I've been out of school.
Right.
Which is surprising. That's like the main thing that they taught me. And then as soon as I get out of school, I realize, oh, I probably need to learn 3 other languages to actually be marketable. University is very much, it's very structured, and some people need that structure. So if you're the kind of person, who you need a program, you need a structure and kind of accountability in order to learn, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You got to learn the methods that you need as a person to find what's right for you. But for people who are able to be very disciplined and self-driven, there's much more quick and easy ways to go about it, and cheap, much cheaper ways to go about it. And that's why we want to focus on games with languages, because going to university and learning a language, or using like Rosetta Stone, it can very much feel like work. And, especially if you're an adult and you've come out of this 8-hour long day of full-time employment, last thing you want to do is get home and do something that feels like work. So on some of the coming products that we're working on, we are working on making products that do focus more towards adults, so adult-themed games that would be more appropriate for, you know, anywhere from 14 up. So less, there's nothing wrong with Ruby Ray in that, but it's just, you know, it's got a very cartoonish, mm-hmm. childish kind of art style. It's very themed. The story is, you know, geared towards kids. So we would really like to expand and be able to have games that cater and have content that is suitable for adults.
Yeah. It seems as though, you know, your career path, although, as you mentioned, you know, there was a short elements that I think I don't give perhaps university credit for, like experience and such that, you know, are probably not considered. But, you know, I mean, does it add up? Is a big question mark still. But, you know, for you, it seems as though you've certainly pursued where your interests lie. I know, you know, you're obviously interested in languages back in university, and you've subsequently gone and worked for, you know, a business that's essentially, you know, developing games. So it seems like a great coalition of skills that you kind of have worked towards. Was it always something, you know, in the back of your mind, do you think that you felt passionately about is learning in itself? And, you know, obviously, I think to be a good developer now, you have to kind of be interested in learning. But do you think, what's the kind of route, do you think, of your interest that has led you to kind of pursue the career that you inevitably are working on now?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure. I've thought about that, and I'm not sure I can define or point out any given point in my life where I said, hey, yes, I absolutely want to be involved with languages or learning. In fact, I would almost say the opposite from maybe 10 to 12 years ago. But the more that I've been involved with just a university area and seeing things that can be improved in a business perspective, I learned Spanish I did French in high school, and I did two semesters and then never did French again. I couldn't probably speak a word of it except oui. But in college I did Spanish, and I did that for 5 years, and I did a study abroad in Spain, in Granada, for 4 months. And I think that experience really helped me a lot in learning about different cultures, in realizing that learning a different language really opens up the world to you, and learning even more than a second language, a third or a fourth. The amount of culture and people that allows you to then experience and talk with is just, I think it's unparalleled. And it helps you get an open-minded view of people and the world. And I think that's probably when it really drove me to start thinking about things like that. And definitely, like you mentioned, being a developer essentially turns you into a lifelong learner. I mean, you're always having to research and read something in order to freshen up on an API or learn a new programming language. So it puts you in a different mindset, I think, and it makes you much more open to being able to learn. When the opportunity came along with Withu, I was very, very excited. Learning new languages has definitely become a major passion for me, and the educational side of it is almost just a side effect, I think. The main reasons I went, I think, with this position is because I love game development, and I love learning languages, and this puts those two together and helps other people do it, I couldn't ask for a better position, I don't think.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you know what, it's so compelling to me because I just, like I said, I feel really passionately about this area around learning in general. I think there's so much to be said for like not just like learning it, but how, you know, how we learn. I think people are far more intelligent than we give them credit for, and I think it's just down to an individual's learning style. So, you know, to turn around and say this person is or isn't intelligent, this person is or isn't understanding, this person is or isn't getting an A or A to a C or a D student, is just a very kind of linear way of trying to articulate one's intelligence. And I think that anything like this for me is right up my street, just from a practical element, because I just think it gives people the opportunity to really flourish under different circumstances. And I think that's what we need kind of more of, you know, is to treat, you know, to treat people as people that are varied, incredibly so. You know, I'm sure you've kind of been involved in teams or manage a team. You know, no matter how big or small it is, the variables and the adaptiveness and the way that people apply themselves in the workplace, especially when you're trying to manage that, is incredibly complex just in that. So yeah. Never mind trying to teach someone something from scratch. You know, we're relatively fortunate in that typically as employers, we hire people that have at least done or know something about what they're about to do, I suppose. So it gives us the advantage. But, you know, to get people up to scratch from nothing is a whole different ballgame, and something that we need to be much more considered about. And I think things like the project that you're working on it's got to be the right direction. I think, you know, this is obviously the way that people are kind of engaging in content, you know, obviously built for purpose, but it's awesome. I'm a huge, huge advocate of this kind of educational style, and I think it'll only grow. Look at how big the market is, how rapidly the market is growing. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's I actually just went to GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So it's basically the most prominent developers conference for games in the world, once a year. And the amount of educational game tech that I saw there was, I mean, mind blowing. There was, I think I saw at least 4 or 5 new educational games teaching whatever. There was one teaching machine learning, a game called While True Learn, and it's by some people based out of Europe. I forget what country, but I think it was Russia. And it's a really cool game that has a concept of, you know, you're a developer who is doing work on stuff, and you have a bug in your program, and you walk away from your computer, and your cat comes along and ends up fixing your bug. And so in order to figure out what the cat did, you start creating a program that can translate the cat into English. and it teaches you all about machine learning. And it's just a very cool little story that, you know, makes the thing like learning machine learning, which is not an easy concept, very fun and simple. And there was a lot of tech that we would like to look at using as well for the language. That's another part of this job that's very interesting and exciting, is, you know, just developing tech to be able to handle things like translation and being able to let the player enter a much more free form response and be able to check that grammatically and make sure it's correct in the target language. Something that we don't have a lot of right now is a speaking capability. So in Ruby Ray, the only practice for speaking a new language is just recording your own voice and listening back to it. But that, of course, doesn't have any kind of concept of grading or grammar checking and making sure that we're telling you, yes, you're right, or no, you're not. So there were quite a few companies that I looked at GDC that were doing speech-to-text language stuff. And we would look at utilizing that kind of things and working with those companies to be able to take what you speak and translate it to text, and then we can apply all of the rules that we already have for text analysis to that and then convert it back for you. We also are very interested in multiplayer and being able to connect you just like that app Tandem does, I was telling you about. Mm. Our current speaking technology in Ruby Ray is very simple, and we wanted to get a multiplayer capability so that you connect to other players, both from a game standpoint, it's always fun to play with different people, but then more importantly, from a speaking and listening language standpoint, that would really enable you to connect to other players and be able to practice those listening and speaking skills. And if we were able to incorporate that voice tech to be able to now check and make sure that you are grammatically correct and your pronunciation is as it should be, you know, things like that would just be fantastic and really expand our offering for the game.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And well, I think it's what a cool position to be in, though, to be able to explore. It's probably a difficult decision-making process, though, to determine what to ultimately invest in with probably so much tech and options on the table. How do you kind of even approach, I suppose, a process of elimination for that?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing we're actually going through right now as we look at our future products. So we have kind of two concepts for games that we're working on right now in very, very early stages. But that's exactly what we're having to consider right now. For Ruby Ray, a lot of the tech we used was Google-based, so a lot of the Google offerings for like analytics, database stuff, things like that. But we really didn't utilize a lot of things like automatic speech recognition or text-to-speech or anything like that. So there are so many companies that offer tech, and we're having to do exactly that right now. We're having to look at those and research their offerings and seeing what would best fit. And it is a difficult process because there's a lot of different ones that do things a little differently, and there's some that have you know, this benefit, but they don't have this thing that that other one does. So this is actually the first time that I'm having to do that, because being the lead, I'm actually responsible for making those advisements to our design team. And before, at the other companies I worked with, you know, they already had a well-established tech stack, and there was no decisions of, oh, well, what's this new thing we should use? Hmm. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see. It gives me the opportunity to research and see what is out there, then being able to choose which is the right one to go with. It's a little agonizing, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what if you make the wrong decision? What if it doesn't work out? You know, that costs your project time and money. So we're also looking at developing some proprietary tech that would specifically help us with things like language processing and checking grammar and offering internal tools to our content team, who does all the language translation and everything and has to enter it into the game, to be able to make their job much faster and easier, because right now, honestly, our current process is a little cumbersome for them. So it's great to be able to, both as the full stack game dev, be able to be creating tools for internal development as well as the gameplay experience and the UI and things like that for the actual player.
Awesome. Mate, it's so interesting. What a project to be on. It must feel pretty surreal to be able to have the opportunity to kind of get stuck into something like this.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And a lot of people talk about it's been a big buzzword kind of lately, like imposter syndrome. I would definitely say that I'm kind of suffering from that right now, because I'm like, wow, you know, how am I here in this like dream job for me? and you know, am I even good enough to be doing this? But, it's very exciting. Very fulfilling.
Awesome. Well, Matt, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate, talking with you. I think we're right about half an hour now, so we'll leave it here. But it's been great kind of just sitting back listening to this, because, like I say, I'm such a big advocate of it, and we have discussed it, you know, similar concepts before on the show, and I'm just a huge supporter of it. So glad I got the opportunity to talk with you and learn a bit more about what you're working on. So awesome, mate. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to check out more of Venturi's voice, but you're unsure where to begin, you can find my recommended top 12 episodes at venturi-group.com/podcast-ebook. See you next time.